This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. We have Jesse and Lance on the podcast today. I tried to not get too much backstory. This is one of the few episodes that I don't know the couple or have any affiliations. You guys are affiliated with podcast producer Abby, so that's how you are here. So this will be very exciting. We get to know all kinds of things about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to understand that the true love story is between you and podcast producer Abby's husband. So that's how you are here.
Yes.
Unfortunately, telling your love story today.
Yep. I've known Corey for 16 or 17 years, about three times as long as I have my wife. So.
Yeah. But you have a lovely wife. So.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, Lance and Jesse, how did you guys meet? What's the origin of your love story?
Are you going to tell the story?
Sure.
The lie that you agreed to punch together.
No,
it's, I'll tell the truth.
Yeah.
At least to you.
And all of our hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Millions.
Yes.
Well, there was one night in October in 2018. Just like everyone these days, you scroll through Tinder, right? Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there. I haven't been in a relationship for a couple of years. I wasn't the type of guy on Tinder trying to find something. I was trying to find what I wanted forever. Yep. She had literally the night before moved to Rochester, and I lived in Winona at the time. She actually put her Instagram on Tinder, and I had messaged her. We still have the conversation to this day. I still have it in my Instagram. Our first conversations, we talked for about a week
through
Instagram.
Did you match on Tinder?
We did not.
Or you saw her on Tinder?
No, nope. Stalked me I just stalked her. Instagram, yeah. And messaged me on Instagram is how it all kind of started.
Yeah, and so we just talked for like a week, and then I actually ended up standing her up on a date. One thing you'll know about me is I'm pretty much a workaholic. I don't take many days off for anything, and one
night. Not even a date with the love of your life.
No, nope, and I
didn't know he was a workaholic at the time because we didn't know each other. Yes. So I was like, well, screw you, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not
fine.
Dealing with you, not talking to you anymore. Uh-huh. You're lame.
Yes.
Yeah. And so after I did that, and she had lived with three girls, they'd moved up from Des Moines. All three of them were from that area. Went to college together, moved up to work at Mayo. I reconvinced her one night when I was off work early, and we ended up going out on a date. I remember the date going well. The biggest thing I remember is at the end of the date, instead of reaching in for a hug or anything, she stuck her hand out.
She shook your hand?
Correct.
Ooh, ice cold.
Yeah. So.
Oh, no.
I ended up hugging him, but I went in for the hand. It was like an awkward, oh, I don't know what he wants to do. Let's just
What do
shake
I do
hands.
With my hands?
Yeah, what do I do with my hands? Thanks so much.
Yes. Nice
to have
met you.
Maybe I'll see you again. I don't know.
And from there, we just continued to talk more and more. I finally went over to their house where the four girls lived and hung out with them for a couple nights. And then within the first few dates, I could definitely feel that there was more to the story than just hanging out. And that was when I kind of started to learn more about her history. And we took things very slow. We were pretty much friends for the first 6 months. She came out of a pretty abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And her trust with men and people in general was at a pretty low point. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of trust that I needed to earn. There was a lot of love I needed to earn. And, you know, we pretty much were in that stage for 5 or 6 months. And I started to struggle a little bit. at that point, you know, I knew I wanted more, but I was struggling to get more just because of her insecurities and stuff like that. And then finally one February night,
I asked her. After a drunken night at the bar the next day.
I asked her to be my girlfriend, and kind of the rest has been history.
Mm-hmm. So I have to know, why did you stand her up on the first date? You just worked on till midnight, and then you were just like, oh, I had a date I was supposed to go on?
He didn't stand me up. He did say, I'm working late. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Sure.
And yeah, I was like, well, if you can't make time for me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Peace. But now, knowing my husband.
Yes.
I know that that's just like an everyday occurrence, and
yes,
that's okay, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I worked in the bar and restaurant industry. I sold CO2 to bars and restaurants. And
sure.
There was so much you didn't know. You could get a call at 4 o'clock. You needed to run. It wasn't intentional. It was, I got a call at 2:30, and we had a 4 o'clock date scheduled in the city, yep, or in Rochester, and I was still in the cities trying to rush to get back. I knew I wasn't going to make it, yeah, so I reached out. But definitely started off on a tough foot knowing where, yeah, she came from. So
yeah. So then you just kind of chit-chatting, hanging out, just reaching out, seeing each other, like,
yeah,
kind of whenever.
Lance used to drive. So we started dating, went on our first date, and I was just like, all the walls were up, you know,
sure,
after my previous relationship. I didn't say it directly, but I think he kind of knew,
yeah,
I have a lot of things that I have to break down to get through to this girl, because I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever, just kind of blew him off. Not that I didn't take it seriously, but you got to work. You got to,
yeah,
put in the work for me. I wouldn't let him be my boyfriend until he met my family. He had met them, and it was like football weekend or something. And so the whole family was there. He got,
yeah,
to meet all of them. And my mom and my sister used to laugh about it to this day. They're like, is something wrong with him? He's way too nice. Like, something's not right. I didn't even get to introduce him myself. He walked right into my parents' house, went immediately and shook my mom's hand, asked if she needed help in the kitchen.
He's like, this is what you guys do, is you, these women in your family shake hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm speaking your language.
Exactly. Went immediately into my dad, shook his hand, my grandpa, and then my nephew at the time, he was what, yep, 6 or 7, shook his hand, just,
wow,
all the things. And they're like, something's not right with him.
Yeah.
But so we just had a lot of conversation. Like our first date, we didn't talk about, oh, what's your favorite color, or, you know, boring,
yeah,
stuff. It was very, what's your family like?
Yeah.
You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see, you know, your relationships in five, you know,
mm-hmm,
stuff like that. That was way more in depth that I had never experienced before. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe he is a little something special.
Yeah, he's very intentional.
Yeah.
So where did that come from? Have you always been that way, where you're just like, I'm here, I'm Lance, nice to meet you? Or did you have to like work into that for her?
Yeah, I'm a salesman by,
sure,
association.
Yeah.
But, you know, I came from a broken home with a broken family, and you learn to be more intentional with people when you,
yeah,
don't want to be a part of the cycle.
Right.
You know, and so stepping out of my comfort zone started at a very young age for me to try and cope with the things I needed to cope with. One thing, you know, people call me kind of a big old teddy bear because I truly care about everyone I come in contact,
mm-hmm,
with and want to help them succeed. So that just kind of led into my relationship and now my marriage with Jesse, being so intentional with the,
yeah,
things that I do.
Yeah. Okay. So you walked in the door, introduced yourself to everybody. Everybody in your family is like,
red flag.
He's too nice. Red flag.
Yeah, red flag. He's too nice.
When you met his family, what was that like?
Him and his dad are very close.
Okay.
Like, he really looks up to his dad. So that was the most intimidating thing, him and his stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
That was way more intimidating than his mom and his stepdad. But they were all very welcoming.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. We went to like a park. We did all kinds of stuff when we went. His dad lives in Duluth. So,
mm-hmm,
we had done all of that. But I don't know. I think they were really receptive to me. I don't know. I'm just me, you know,
sure,
for the most part.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was probably awkward and shy at the time because I'm like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. But for the most part, I'm kind of the same way. This is me. Kind of like your son.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. I don't remember when I met them, but I don't remember if I met them first or not.
I don't know.
We really worked very slowly this together.
Yeah.
We built a very firm foundation first, which has really helped us now, you know, even. But that was, we had a firm foundation in friendship before we were together.
So how long after meeting your parents, Jesse, were you making the like, okay, I want you to be my girlfriend, I'm going to make the ask?
It was, we had talked about the brokenness.
He had tried it before he met my parents.
Yeah.
Many times.
We met in October, and it was probably, I mean, by Christmas, I was ready to start something. She just said, hang on, you know, I'm still working through things. I think I was pretty patient through that process. And then, yeah, by the end of, as bad as it sounds, in February, I put her on a deadline in my own head. I said,
I never said it directly to me, but still tells me to this day that you're really lucky. If it wasn't before my birthday, we wouldn't be together.
It actually, in my own head, I set February 18th as the day that if we weren't going to get more serious, then I just can't hang myself in this situation for that long, because I was ready for more. And if I wasn't going to get it, then I needed to start another process with myself. And February 16th was the day that it was official. So,
just made it. Just barely made it. Thank goodness.
So you created this foundation, you talked and whatever. What was it about Jessie when you saw her on Tinder and then scooted on over to Instagram that you were like, ooh, there's something about this one?
Just down to earth. I mean, she came from a good family with a good foundation, which is something I didn't have growing up, something that I don't want my future kids to have. I want them to have the foundation. I don't want them to go through what I went through. Someone in her family, you know, all of her grandparents and her parents are married for so long. My dad's been married 3 times. My mom's been married twice. Fortunately, both of my brothers and myself are in our current marriage and we're strong. I just didn't want a lot of that stuff to continue. I wanted to break that cycle in our family. And just the down to earth and just being able to have a conversation and someone willing to sit down on a Sunday or a Saturday and just chill, whether it was a conversation or board game, football, or
right. So we did a lot of car rides.
We did.
A lot of jam sessions in the old red truck.
Yeah. And so it was just being able to chill and be myself. I'm not good at vacations and I'm not good at settling down. When I come home on a Friday, she understands that I'm exhausted from a long week and I don't want to go shopping and do all this stuff. She just kind of understands that. And that's really, even from the beginning, that's kind of what I learned about her. She can be easy and she can understand where I'm coming from. And it took a couple of years for sure for her to like truly get it. But I mean, it's been from the beginning, and that's just being her is what I was looking for and what I found.
Yeah. I think she was asking if you thought I was pretty or anything. You didn't even mention how beautiful I am.
Well, you know,
dazzling. She lights up the room.
You are beautiful, but I definitely was searching for something more inside than just what the appearance was.
I think on one of our first encounters through Instagram, I was like, do I know you? And he was like, because immediately when he messaged me, I sent it to the group chat. Of course. You got to send it to the girls. You got to get, you know, everybody's
We're
input.
We're betting this guy.
Who is this guy? Do you know him? Does anybody know him? Nobody knows him. Weird. Okay, but sure, let's try it. When I asked, do I know you? He said, no, I saw you on Tinder and found you through here. I don't remember if you said I was gorgeous or what you said. And you look like you had a good head on your shoulders or something like that. Smooth talker.
Yeah, very smooth. Salesman.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I'm selling myself to you.
Yeah.
So when you finally, on February 16th, said yes to be his girlfriend, what was, I mean, obviously, yes, like the barriers like you're talking about and the things that you have to work through on your own and doing all the internal work that we all should be doing. What was it that was like, now's the time and you are the one?
I think Lance loves very hard. Okay. Lance used to drive, like he said, he lived in Goodview or Winona at the time. I lived in Rochester. He drove to and from an hour each way, for people who don't know how far that is, an hour each way, pretty much every single day of the week for those 6 months, just to hang out with me. Like I said, we would go for a drive. He would be there for a couple of hours. I never let him stay over. We never, you know, did anything crazy like that. We literally just sat and talked or played card games with my roommates. And that amount of effort to me was just like, okay, he cares. I don't know if he loved me at the time, but that's how you show someone love. I had gotten sick kind of around that time at work, and he drove from the cities through a snowstorm, brought me Sprite, Goldfish, my favorite things, and took me back to my house, picked me up from work, took me back to my house, and just laid with me while I was sicker than a dog. He got sick. You know, we passed it back and forth, and I was like, okay, he really cares about me.
So how long after finally saying, yes, I'll be your girlfriend, who dropped the L-bomb first? I think I know.
I think you did.
That's what I would guess.
I'm sure it was.
Yes.
I think you did.
I can't say I can recollect that, but
I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah. 100%. I think it was you. I definitely don't think it was me.
No, yeah, I'm sure it was me. I don't remember it, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you remember? You just know that it happened? It obviously...
I just know that, yeah, I don't know exactly when that was. I remember our first kiss, but that's about it.
Not immediately following a handshake.
No.
Took a little bit.
That took a while. Yeah, when he was leaving the house one night.
You just grabbed him. Get over here.
No, not at all. He grabbed me. He said, come here. Very, very smooth. And we kissed. And it was like the, you know, down the door, weak in the knees. Oh. He doesn't remember it that way, but that's exactly how it happened.
No, he was all nervous and he was like, come here. Ooh. Yeah. So first kiss, first I love you, all of that. Okay. We're boyfriend and girlfriend now. We've met the family. How long did you guys date before? You were probably thinking marriage right away, if I had to guess. As soon as you got her locked in on the girlfriend hook, you were like...
Well, we moved in.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Together.
6 months after we started dating.
Yeah, well, not even, because we started officially dating in February, and we were moved in together by 4th of July weekend. My lease was up, his lease was up, and I was like, are you sure you want to move to Rochester? And he's like, yep. Locked in, and so we rented a townhouse together, and we moved in together. And then we were engaged in December of 2018.
Wow.
So about a year.
Yeah.
After seeing each other.
Yeah. Taking all the time in the world to kind of lay the foundation and build up to it.
No, 2018. We met in 2017.
Yeah. All right.
This is our eighth year together, honey.
Wow. So that moved pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah, after that.
What was it that made you feel so comfortable to move that quickly after taking the same amount of time to hold him off?
I think just his persistence, and he always showed up for me. Mm-hmm. I never had to question his love for me. I never had to question anything that he did. Honestly, he's either working or he's with me or, you know, sleeping. That's literally, you know, how it was. And a lot of trust went into our relationship, and faith in him. When we sat down to talk about moving in together, it was like, okay, if something does happen with our relationship, it doesn't work out. Can I afford this by myself? Can you afford this? You know, we had those kinds of conversations too, just in case.
You want to be bound together by choice. You don't want to be bound together by a financial obligation.
Yeah, 100%. So we had those conversations too. But yeah, really just his persistence and always showing up for me and never wavering away from a challenge, because it was a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Starting to be with me and then dating me and still dealing with me now, I'm sure it's a challenge. But it wasn't easy on him.
Yeah. So how did you propose? Who proposed to whom?
Well, I proposed to her. So to this day, I remember asking her dad. Probably the most nervous night I've ever had in my life, even though I don't know why, because me and her dad are like two peas in a pod. Mm-hmm. But I remember the night that I asked him, and I was nervous. I just remember we were watching basketball, and I was sitting on the couch and
sweating.
I couldn't even. I'd lay down and I'd sit up, and then I'd lay back down, and then I'd sit back up, and then finally your dad looked at me like, are you crazy? Are you high? Or are you drunk? And I'm like, none of the above.
Yeah, like, are you good? Yeah. What's going on?
And a little bit of the backstory is Jesse is a lot like her dad, and Jesse, if he won't say he has a favorite child, but that's daddy's girl. And I hold that, even to this day, fairly high. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, and everything went well. And then, obviously, I just pretty much told my parents it was that it was going to happen. And then December, it was in December.
December 15th.
Yeah, when I proposed, we went down to Des Moines. One of her favorite spots was Gray's Lake down there. There's a lake and there's a walking trail, and she spent a lot of time walking around it, sitting in her car down by the boat launch, and I knew it meant a lot to her. And up behind a big oak tree, I had her, thank God her mom helped me, but I had Marry Me in the illuminated signs laying on the ground. And we had to tell her a little white lie to get her to come, because that day she was being a little sassy. And
we had had baking day all day with my family. His mom actually came down. So it was like ladies baking day that we did every year. We had been baking all day. My aunt drove me nuts that day. Love her to death, but she drove me nuts that day. And I'm just like, I don't want to do anything else with my family. Like, I'm over it.
And so to get her to go, we told her that Liam, her nephew, he's a big Boy Scout. He's in Boy Scouts and he loves it. And we told her there was a stargazing thing that he wanted to do with his family out by the lake. So that's what got her to go in the first place.
Kicking and screaming.
Correct.
Stargazing badge.
I'm pretty sure I was still having an attitude in the car. I was venting about the day in the car, and he's just probably like, oh my
God. Yeah, I had to
go. You have no idea.
I had to guilt trip her to go. I'm like, this like, this is important to him, you know, and finally got her to go. And, you know, I kind of, I was in a different vehicle, because I got there first and I was standing there. And then all of a sudden, her family kind of led to the layout, and there I was, and got down on one knee as she walked up. And to this day, I don't remember what I said.
I don't remember what she said either. And, did anyone get it on camera?
So, pictures.
So my nephew, like I said, was about six or seven at the time. He was in charge of the video camera. And all, I don't know about the whole video, but all you can hear in the video is he had the video camera. He's like, oh, she's here. She's here. And all you hear is him like running in the grass, and the camera's going every which way. That's basically all that we have of that. Pictures and stuff, of course, but video, no.
And then obviously she said yes, and then there's a pretty good Italian place on the south side of Des Moines that her family loves. And my mom and stepdad and her family, we all went out for dinner that night to celebrate, and it was fun.
Yeah. Did you see it coming at all?
No, I had no idea.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, I was so crabby. And then here we are. We got out of the car and we were walking together. And I was like, what are they doing? They're pretending to look in the sky. My nephew had his Boy Scout costume on. They were really fully committed to it. I was like, what are they doing? They're just randomly looking up at the sky. Yeah, look at that. Oh my gosh. Ooh. Yeah. Wow. So cool. And then he grabbed my hand and I was like, was happening. And then I had seen it and I was like, are you serious? I remember just saying, are you serious right now? I was laughing, so I didn't cry. I was just laughing the whole time. He was probably like, really? Isn't a joke.
You shake my hand, you laugh in my face. Why am I doing this?
You're literally the worst.
Did you pick the ring out ahead of time?
I did. Yep. I asked her mom and her sister. I went in and had three or four different choices, and then I made the final selection. She had sent me over a couple, and one thing that I'm really bad at is if you send me something, I'll probably get you something different, because I like to make it my own. So there's been numerous times with everything that she'll be like, this is what I want. I'm like, no, I'm gonna get you that instead. Just because I like to actually think outside the box once in a while.
So
I had it picked out and everything, and made the final choice by myself. So
nice. And did you love it when you saw it?
Love. Love it. Yes.
Good. And so family, when you finally did say to her dad, hey, I want to ask your daughter to marry me, he was like, what is going on with you right now? And you had to tell him. What was he like, thrilled?
He actually told me right after. He's like, I had a feeling that's what it was.
Okay.
And
so he opened the door for you. He was like, you're not going to come through this door on your own.
Yep. He knew it. He knew how close Jesse and I were, and he knew that it was going to come sooner rather than later. And I kind of hinted at it to him earlier on, but more so jokingly than anything, because him and I, that's kind of our relationship, is we just screw around and joke around. And but yeah, he even said, he's like, I knew that's what it was.
Okay. And then how long after the proposal did you guys get married?
Somebody somewhere thought I was a star, and somebody somewhere knew that I took 6 weeks of dance class in kindergarten, so they figured that I could handle a little shuffle ball change and a little dazzling dance action. So, because of that, I am dancing for Dancing with Our Stars on June 9th at the Garacki Center, and my charity of choice is the Open Heart Home, and that is a charity that supports teen moms, educating, supporting, housing, helping take care of everybody, and making sure that they are safe and secure and educated on how to now go out into the world and raise a little. So, as a former teen mom, that speaks near and dear to my heart, and that is why I do what I do. So, if I dance and make a fool of myself, it's all in the name of teenage moms and supporting some of our most vulnerable in society. So, if you are compelled to donate, you can click the link in the comments, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com or Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark.
Well, we were in the unfortunate pool of COVID weddings.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yep.
So our intention was to get married on May 6th.
May 30th.
May 30th.
Not good with dates. If you haven't noticed, he does not know a date from anything. He knows our anniversary. That's about it.
Yeah. Good. It's because it's the day after my brother's birthday.
Yeah. Day before.
Yeah, it is day before. Yeah, it's around there. Yeah, so we had a May 30th wedding picked out in Rochester, the whole nine yards. And as COVID went along, COVID had other ideas for us. And it was a very, very tough year for us. Just because of all the challenges and everything.
Bars and restaurants shut down, so you're not selling CO2 and you're...
Yeah,
so.
I spent 3 months pretty much just sitting at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I was getting paid to do nothing.
Sure.
And that, again, if you don't know me, that takes a toll on me because I don't sit still for very long. Through the whole process, I was very jealous of my brother. He had a COVID wedding in August the same year, and they allowed him to have it. Mm-hmm. We couldn't. We pushed it. December 4th, we finally got married. Our church was very important to us, but it wasn't in the big church. It was kind of in an auditorium off the side of it. It was just very small. Everyone had to be masked. And it was our parents. One on each side and us, pretty much.
And our two best friends. Yeah. As our witness. We had them as like our witnesses or what have you, and our pastor.
Wow. Yeah, so
we had
a little
COVID Skype wedding. All of our family and friends were on Skype. It was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the time, it sucked, but now it's looking back, cute. Yeah.
It was definitely, it was more personable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, at the end of the day, it was tough. You're doing everything twice. You're doing invitations twice. You're doing save the dates twice. You're putting double the effort in. And truly, until like May 1st, we didn't even know.
Yeah.
There was no answers as to, are you going to have it? Are you not going to have it? Are you going to allow us to have it? Are you not going to allow us to have it? Could we change out of it if we wanted to do it somewhere else? Fortunately, we had it in December, and then the next year, we did it all over again, where we had...
Did the big one.
We did the big one. We had all the people in our lives and invited everyone. And one thing that did, I think, for both of us to have the small one and then the party is it slimmed down our list.
Yeah.
It really opened our eyes to the people that care about us, and those are the people we really wanted there. And I think we had like 400 and some people invited.
Yeah, a crazy amount.
And I think we got it down to like 200 on the second go around. It was truly the people that we wanted to be a part of it, we wanted to celebrate with.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just everybody that
anybody knew. That you've known. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how, when that all, because you guys would have been kind of like just starting to, I mean, you'd moved in together and then you go right into shutdown. If you had to think of the biggest struggle in your relationship, is that kind of...
That year was, we were on the verge of divorce that year, if we're honest. We bought a house in January of 2020 in Rochester together. So we had done that, moved out of the townhome, and then started planning our wedding. And then didn't have our wedding. And then, yeah, in between we got married. Well, maybe it was 2021. But either way.
Yeah, we, still pandemic times.
Yeah, yeah, we just weren't in a good place, like both individually and then for each other. We were in each other's space all the time and constantly bickering. You know, we couldn't seem to get along. And I'm just like, oh, get me out of here. You know, and he's probably thinking the same thing. Like, this is just torture. This is not fun. But how do we fix this? How do we grow from this? And then he got COVID in the summer. So it must have been August of 2021. He got COVID. I was in nursing school at the time. And I was practicing. It was kind of funny. It's not funny, but it was kind of funny. I was practicing my physical assessment on him because I had to do everything from home. Yeah. I'm like, I have to submit my video today. I have a quiz. Like, come and help me. And he walked from, we lived in a split level, not very big. And he walked from our living room to the room that I was in, which is maybe like 50 feet, and he was huffing and puffing, could not breathe. So I called my sister because I'm like, he kind of looks purple. And my sister's a nurse. So I was like, hey, I need you to answer me. Does he look purple to you? She's like, Jesse, you need to take him in.
Oh, God.
Well, he had been so sick. He hadn't showered in a few days. So as a not the best wife, I made him get in the shower before he went.
The nurse has probably thanked you.
Yeah. So I made him get in the shower and he showered. I said, okay, you have 5 minutes max. I get out. And so I went and checked on him, and he was just staying there, like, huffing and puffing, couldn't function. Scrubbed him down, got him out of the shower, sat him on the toilet, and was like, we need to go to the hospital. Like, can you walk to the car? Otherwise, I have to call an ambulance. You are not well. So I dressed him. That was the first time I dressed you. Got him dressed, dried him off, and then we went, and I basically dropped him off to the ER because I couldn't go in. I also had COVID at the time, so I couldn't go in with him. I gave him his wallet, insurance card.
Yeah.
Didn't even tell him I loved him when he...
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Said, make sure you wear your mask and tell them you have COVID when you go in, because it's cute little volunteer ladies, you know, that are older, running that at that time in the ER. So make sure you wear your mask and tell them that you have COVID when you walk in. No, I love you, no nothing. And the poor valet guy, I was like kind of breaking down at that point. Like, I'm going to have to call his dad. What's going to happen to him? I don't know anything. I had went originally to park the truck with valet to go in with him. They told me that I couldn't. So when I went back for the keys, I was just like in tears. And the valet guy was like, oh, you're back so soon. He was so sweet. I said, yeah, I had to drop my husband off. I don't know what's happening. He's like, are you sure you're okay to drive? I said, I'm fine. And I don't have anybody else. Like, I'm good. And drove home, called my dad, told him, and then called his dad and his mom after that. And yeah, so he spent, 3 days in ICU, or 3 or 4 days in ICU?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was...
Luckily, was never intubated, but was, like, maxed on BiPAP at the time and things like that.
Just to go back a little bit, we bought a house, and we redid most of the house, so...
That's also pressure point for the relationship.
Correct.
Yeah. And financial strain. You know, we had financial struggles at that time, too, with not working or being furloughed for my job or what have you, too.
And then with COVID, we both had it. I mean, I had it for a week and I was still working from home, doing just fine. The second week was when her marriage started to deteriorate. I was sleeping downstairs. She was sleeping upstairs. Our dog had no idea who to stay with. He was going crazy.
Poor Lou.
Yeah, and it wasn't good. I slept for probably a week straight. I just couldn't, you know, get a Gatorade in, and that would be it. When she ended up taking me, I still remember we were fighting the morning of, not fighting, bickering more so, and we had a cow coming in from Corey's mom during the same time, and as you know, when you buy a half a hog or a half a beef, there's not much freezer space when the people are usually the ones butchering it, so you need to get it out of there fast. Well, I remember Corey's mom kind of haggling me about that, and that morning, I remember Jesse's like, you need to go downstairs, you need to clean out the freezer, we need room for this cow. I remember we would take a lot of our excess garbage to the apartments down the road because they had bigger containers. And I remember her calling me about 45 minutes after I left. And mind you, I could throw a rock in at the dumpster that I was throwing stuff in. And I remember 45 minutes later, her calling me and saying, are you coming home? It's like 90 degrees outside in August. The meat was in a cardboard box and it had fallen down and it was so wet on the bottom, the tape released and it was all on the ground. Well, bending over when I could hardly breathe from COVID and picking it up, I could do like three and then I'd have to stop and take a breath. That's when she first started to realize that things weren't well. That's when I went back into the house and she called her sister. And I spent 4 days in ICU. And the day I went in, they pretty much told me, if you're not better in 12 hours, you're going to get intubated. And my O2 level was like 59.
Yeah, it was like 66 or something when I was admitted.
And it wasn't good. And, you know, when you get separated from somebody for 7 days with no people interaction other than a nurse every once in a while in a hazmat suit, you start to really think about what matters in life.
Yeah.
When I got out, I was miserable. The 2 days before I got out, I was miserable. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's not good for my mental health. FaceTime doesn't do it justice anymore. Finally, they let me go. And I remember seeing her for the first time when I got out, and it was tough.
Yeah.
But it was putting
Don't make me cry.
It was
It
was putting everything in the rearview mirror of the things that you fight about that don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
And what actually means something in life and what actually pushes you and fuels you to be the person that you are. It was a moment, we've had two of them in our marriage where I thought it was probably going to be over, and it wasn't, so here we are.
That was when he was in the hospital. What was that like for you?
Awful. I remember the first night that he was in the hospital, the intensivist had called me from ICU, because I kept calling. I called the ER like 90 times. They're like, ma'am, please. You know, they didn't say that, but they were just like,
ma'am.
They're like, yep, he's still here. I can't tell you anything else. You know, ER friends are not the kindest.
Yes.
You know, I love them. Whatever, but they're not the kindest.
They're
just like
a wide variety.
Yeah,
of people.
They're like, ma'am, we're backed up till Tuesday. He'll be fine. And so I remember when she called and she was like, okay, you're Lance's wife. I said, yes. And she goes, okay, well, he's not doing well. I was like, oh perfect. And I didn't have anybody around me. It was just me and the dog at the house. She's like, okay, we put him on BiPAP. He's being transferred to the ICU right now. And
those are three scary letters.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know what's happening.
Yep.
And you said he's not doing well.
And I said, is he intubated? And she said, no, he's not intubated yet. And I said, yet. And she goes, yep, he's maxed in BiPAP settings. We're basically ventilating him without intubating him.
For context with intubating, typically they say when you get older, once you get on, you don't get off. Like, it's like, that's the end.
Well, and at the time during COVID, nobody knew. I worked in surgery. We were doing bedside trachs, ECMO, all kinds of crazy things on people. Because they couldn't get off their ventilators. And
jeez.
I am thinking, okay, we're married basically for 8 months.
Yeah.
I'm 25. I think I was 25, 24,
yeah,
25 years old. And I have to, and I'm in charge of his decision. So part of the conversation with the intensivist was, well, you're up. I said, huh?
Yeah.
And she goes, if he said that you're in charge of all of his decisions. And I said, okay, what's his code status? Because we had never talked about anything like that before. Who does in your first year of marriage?
Well,
you don't
in
think
your
20s. You need to. And she's like, he wants to be a full code. If he needs to be intubated, he wants to be intubated. I said, okay. And she goes, yep. And you're in charge of his decisions. Like, he told me He trusts you to make his decisions for
That's
him.
A lot of trust to put in someone else's and hands. I'm like, and you're like, you've been bickering with this person. And you're like, oh my God, like, is she going to off me?
Yeah. Pull the plug. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He's like, I'm right here. I'm fine.
So I had that conversation. And then the most lonely feeling or the most like crappy feeling, I set an alarm every single hour while he was in the hospital for those every single day. Mm-hmm. Set an alarm every single hour to make sure I didn't miss a phone call from somebody. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I told that intensivist that night, I said, if you have to intubate him, you need to do what you need to do. But if he has a minute, I need you to call me.
Yeah.
I need you to put him on the phone and I need to at least hear his voice. I need you to at least give me that 1 minute with him before you intubate him. And she said, okay. But then the worst part was having to relay all that information mm-hmm. to my family, to his family, no sleep or what have you, which I would do 100 times over for him. I would never make him feel like he was alone in any of that stuff. But once he was out of the hospital, that was really the turning point. I think mm-hmm. in our marriage at that point was like, okay, we have each other and that's all we have, like, really at the end of the day is each other. And you trusted me wholeheartedly. I trust you wholeheartedly. We got to fix this, you know? So we never did any like true therapy or anything like that, but we just really worked on our communication and loved each other a lot harder. Just realizing life is so precious mm-hmm. and you could have easily been intubated and who knows if you would have came off the ventilator at that point. You were very sick and that was just kind of like a eye-opening moment.
Yeah. And I mean, there was weeks of recovery after that too. When you're bed bound for 7 days, especially, you know, I'm a bigger guy and moving around and getting my strength back and all that was definitely not easy on her either, because she had to pick up a lot of the slack around the house and help out in other ways too. And, you know, I think my dad came down there for a little bit too to try and help out. But that was a scary time. And then, you know, we've had a couple of them since.
Not that bad. That was pretty bad.
Yeah. Moving up here was another one.
So we had the house in 2020. All the COVID stuff, had our fun, you know, our big hurrah wedding, what have you, in December of 2021. I was in nursing school at the time doing night shift life, which wasn't easy on our marriage. Full-time nights plus full-time school. He was working. And then in 2022, his smaller company in Rochester basically got absorbed by ATS up here. And so we ended up, well, what's the best financial decision for us is to move up here. And his brothers live closer up here. His family kind of does. So we made that move. And that was really hard on me because I, you know, gave up my job at Mayo for that. And it worked out because I was just finishing nursing school. But it was a very tough move because I'm going further away from my family. They're all in Des Moines anyways.
Yeah.
Moving away from my friends, giving up. I mean, Mayo was my dream job, you know. Not necessarily a forever thing, but definitely the experience I had there was one of a kind. And I think I held a lot of resentment towards him during that time, and we had to work very hard through that too. So
I moved up here for a job, and 6 months later I transitioned to a different company. It didn't work out. I went from being in the office every day to working remote. I was home all the time, and I think that helped our marriage for sure. I was able to help out where it was needed, but it didn't make anything easier for her, because then it's, and I think there was a little resentment there too, because it's from the standpoint of, you know, I was unsure how long I'm not a politically correct human being all the time. And when you go to work for a corporate company, you kind of have to be. And so I didn't know how long it was going to work for. Even before we had moved up here, I was in a transition period.
Like apprehensive about it a little bit,
So a lot of that happened. And then during the summer of, what was it? Must have been 23, because it's 25 now. I went up to Fargo 1 week, the other testing point in our marriage, and my back was killing me. And I didn't know what it was. I went into the chiropractor before I left to try and get him to crack me to see if that would help, and nothing didn't help. I went up to Fargo to go to work, because I was scheduled to be in the office that week, and on Wednesday, I couldn't take it. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't do anything. So Thursday night, I came home, and I knew something was really wrong with myself. And because in our backyard, it's fenced in, and I went over to talk to the neighbors, and I couldn't walk back.
Oh, God.
And I chewed on Tylenol all week to make it through the week. And when I got back on Friday, or Thursday night, I told Jesse, I said, I have to go into the ER. I can't do it anymore. We got into the ER, her parents in town, and I had a pinched nerve so severe in my back that surgery needed to be done to spread two discs apart.
Every time we're struggling, there's a surgery or something.
Yeah, and it's always me.
Yeah, it's never me. It's always you. I'm always the one picking that up.
I just remember that night going to the ER, knowing that there's probably going to be some struggles ahead. And we kind of just worked our way through it. But it was, again, 3 months of I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed in the hospital for the weekend. Luckily, she could at least be with me. I can't mow the lawn. I can't drive. Yeah. I couldn't even drive because of the pain pills and stuff I was on for the first couple months and or weeks. And it was just another testing point in our marriage up here. But it was...
We did a lot of team bonding during that. He couldn't wipe his own butt.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
yeah.
We were really,
intimate.
Really strong.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Really, I'm a nurse, so I don't care. But right. I was like, oh, how is he going to handle this?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we did well.
It's a transition when someone's in your business.
Yeah. I've never been stronger since that. Let me tell you. Yeah. It's a new level of marriage.
Real intimate, and it changes things. Yeah. I had a friend of mine was dating her now husband, and within, I think, a couple months of dating, she had to give him an enema.
Oh,
and he was like, how do you ask for the enema?
Yeah.
Like, that's
you don't want to ask.
No, that's a tough place. But if you can get through an enema, if you can get through wiping someone's ass, yeah, then here we are. We're in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, during that, like, 2022 time frame, I kind of went to therapy, things like that. And then after he had his surgery, I think our relationship hasn't been stronger since that time, honestly.
You've gone through a lot of really tough stuff. I mean, surgery and COVID, like a near-death experience. Then all of the things that go along with that, being stuck at home together and then stuck away from each other, mm-hmm. and all of these things. And throwing in, you know, relocating and all of this stuff. It's kind of like, okay, what you got next?
Yeah,
you know?
What's next?
Yeah.
We're ready to take it on, I think.
Yeah, I think the last surgery was eye-opening for myself. I was so scared of being paralyzed.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things, you know, they kept, I don't know the name of what I had. It's some fancy name. One of the things that they kept, you know, she kept rushing the doctors to get me into surgery because
I was not a nice person in the ER.
Her sister.
My dad was witness to it. I was not very kind after hours of sitting there, I will say.
Yeah, because we went in the night before, and then it was at the point I couldn't feel bowel movements.
Wow.
So we went back to the ER the next day, and that was when they finally, I mean, I didn't go in until like 8 or 9 o'clock that next night for surgery, and there's a limited window of time that you need to get this surgery done, otherwise it can be permanent. And that's what I told her when they asked the second time if I wanted to be resuscitated, and I'm like, if I'm going to be paralyzed, I don't.
Oh, God.
I don't want to live that life, and I think that was, even for myself, that's when I started to break down. I'm like, we need to get this thing done, and she started to...
yeah. Move mountains.
Make demands,
got things moved along.
Yeah.
Advocated for him, you know, and that is like how I showed up for him in that time, you know, or what have you. And mm-hmm. I know that he would have done the same for me if he knew what to ask or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's like, listen, dude, talking to this ER doctor, like I'm something. I was like, listen, dude, my husband is 28 years old. If he is peeing his pants, has to have a catheter, has to have an ostomy bag, if he has to have any of that, he doesn't want to live.
Right.
I know him and he will not want to live like that. So let's either get this thing going or I'm going to start making calls myself is basically what I told him. And my dad's like, Jesse, you need to calm down. No, I don't.
No,
I'm not calming down. No, this is my husband we're talking about. And mm-hmm. nobody's going to advocate for him better than I can.
Yeah.
And he won't say anything because he's too nice.
Right.
And he doesn't. And he's scared. You know,
yes.
He doesn't know.
I was in so much pain at that time. That's all I mean.
He gave you Dilaudid and you felt a lot better.
That was, seriously.
She's like, we're going to give him a little something in his arm. I said, go for it, please.
Yeah.
I don't do pain pills. I don't do any mm-hmm. of that ever.
Like, he was zooted.
But I asked. I'm like, I need something and I need it now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we've gone through a lot. And mm-hmm. truthfully, I think faith is in our foundation and being able to continue to grow that and to use all these obstacles in marriage and life to get to where we are today. I mean, we're stronger than we've ever been. And I went back from being in a remote position at work to now being in the office. I drive an hour every day. And I don't think 3 years ago we could have, you know, I'm gone more now than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think we could do it. But the conversation when I took the position I'm in now was very different than 3 years ago when I was making decisions that benefited myself to making decisions now that benefit my family and what I want my future to look like. So I think it's totally different, and obviously we've matured and she's understand my side. I pride myself in being a provider, and kind of the old adage of the man and the woman in the house, and my wife still works, but I'm very much a provider and take care of things, and I always want to do that, and I'll, you know, she hates it.
I just asked him yesterday if he likes being my sugar daddy, and he said, yeah. I said, you just love it, don't you? You love being the breadwinner and love being the sugar daddy, and he's like, yeah, hell yeah.
And we've struggled financially, especially early on in our marriage. I've always prided myself in some of the hardest times being calm and just saying, you know, she hates it, but I always say, we'll figure it out. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So annoying. Mm-hmm. Lance is somebody who's just like, we'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. Oh, negative? Nah. I'll get more money tomorrow. I can make $20 right now if I go, you know, work with a corner or something. Yeah. $20 is $20. I'll do what I need to do.
I've got feet. Yeah. I can sell pics.
Yeah, yeah. I'll sell pics. I've got some crusties that they want to see. Whatever. That's just how he is, which is how we're so opposite in that way, because I'm a worrywart and he is not at all.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can't have two worrywarts. Otherwise, you guys would just tear yourself into an anxiety spiral.
Yep.
But yeah, it's balance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love that. It's got to be to some level to have gone through what you guys have gone through to feel this like, oh yeah. I mean, not to say that you can let your foot off the gas pedal in any relationship, because once you stop choosing the other person, that's when it's, you know, it's easier to choose the fight instead and all of that.
Sure.
So, but to have come back from so many pretty big obstacles, that's more obstacles than a lot of people have had. And you guys have done it in such a short amount of time. It's kind of, I mean, a testament to the work you guys have put in to be able to sit here and be vulnerable. I really appreciate you guys being vulnerable and sharing. I think there's, not that I would say that anyone has come on the podcast and given just the polished, shiny story, but it is tough to sit here on the Love Story podcast and talking about like, yeah, we almost got divorced a couple of times. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, but I appreciate the vulnerability, and I appreciate that you guys are willing to share that not every story is we met, we fell in love, everything was great. Now here we are.
Yeah, everything's peaches and cream.
No, it was work. Yeah. It's work. And especially when you are committing your life to a person and the everyday backstory that you guys have and your traumas and all of that kind of stuff, you have to put in work. You have to show up. And if you're not working on yourself, a relationship is just a natural thing that'll fall apart.
Right.
So.
100%.
Yeah, and I don't want to take up too much more time, but even today, going through some infertility issues to try and start the next journey of our life, it's just more battles each and every day that you learn to love and to take every day like it's not for granted. You know, no day is taken for granted.
Yeah.
You just roll with the punches and try and stay as calm and as you can, and just fight every battle and just pick each thing off, one thing off each and every day, and just try and better yourself and better your marriage. And you know, it's just as a man, just trying to stand up and make sure you're making the right decisions for your wife as well as yourself is something that the last year probably of my marriage is something I've always had to stick in the back of my mind instead of saying, well, it's probably best for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's best for me is not always what's best for we, so.
Right, right.
Well, that was cute.
We'll put
you
it on a t-shirt.
You've never said that before. That's cute. You have to use that one more often.
Yeah. You can put that in your little Rolodex of things that you can pull. Remember when you said?
Remember when
is
you
this
said
a we
this?
Or a me?
Yeah.
Lance.
March 30th. You remember that? You remember the date, right?
No, I left my watch at home.
Well, we're kind of at the end, but I want you guys to, what's one thing that you love the most about each other? What's your thing?
There's a lot of things I love about Lance, but I think, like we were talking about earlier, I love the way that he loves. He loves people very hard, not just me. He has a softer spot for me than he does most of the people in his life. I will say he's very gentle with me. Lance just loves hard. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He just is who he is. Lance doesn't know a stranger, which is something I love about him and annoys me. I like to hide in the crowd sometimes, and he's like, I'm here, Sade. Like,
hey, baby.
Lance is here. You know? He's wearing a freaking Ricky Bobby shirt right now. Like, that's just how he is. But that and definitely his patience. He's very patient with me. Always has been since we've been together. I always say that he is the rock for us. He's always that landing point at the end of a tough day. When we were going through our struggles, he always still held strong for me and always does and never wavers away from a challenge. He's always ready to fight or His fight or flight doesn't exist. It's fight or nothing. He does not flee away from anything. Work, relationships, nothing. Favorite thing about him.
Yeah, I kind of, there's two things. I mean, number one, just how genuine she is, you know, and when we do things and, because I'm not always about money. It's a lot about the little things, you know, coming home and as simple as she knows that I'm a Bath and Body Works.
Whore.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was appropriate, but
I'm the Body Works whore.
I'm the candle guy in the house.
I would never.
Oh, have, I am.
If anybody needs a Bath and Body Works deal, Lance is on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, let me find you. He's wheeling and dealing 100%.
But she just knows, like, at the end of the long day, most of my days are between 13 and 15 hours, mm-hmm. and it's 5 days a week. And on Friday, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to come home. As simple as knowing a lit candle in the kitchen literally just smells good.
Yeah.
And it just kind of changes my mind from, you know, she knows the small things that trigger me to change my outlook or change my attitude, whether it's that or whatever she made for dinner or picking up a Diet Pepsi because we don't really keep pop in the house, or just knows the little knickknacks that really trigger me to change my attitude or change the way I do things. And then the other thing is just how real she is. Sometimes she'll tell you things you don't want to hear uh-huh. or the way you want to hear it, but she's a straight shooter and it's always going to come across the same way. And sometimes it probably comes across a little rough, but it's probably what I needed to hear.
Sure.
And, you know, I've never been someone that loves to beat around the bush, and she gets straight to the point with everything. And, you know, I think that's why we pair so well, because I talk to everybody, she kind of talks to nobody, and part of that
I have a personality with certain people. Just yeah. otherwise, yes. I'm like, social anxiety, I'm just going to hang out here. I don't have to have a personality when Lance is around, because he does that for me. He does all the work.
We're very, very much opposites attract.
Yes. Yeah.
And some days I need my space, some days she wants me, and we just figure out that balance, because
yeah.
that's what we do in our marriage, and it's what's worked.
Well, I love that. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to end on what candle are you burning right now?
Well, I just ordered some yesterday. Partially, she said my truck stinks, and now Bath & Body Works just came out with a little, like, you know, like the Christmas tree scent things.
Yep, how convenient.
They now came out with those.
Abby's shaking her head, just like I was when he told me. He's like, oh, did you know that Bath & Body Works now has the Christmas tree thing? I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm so excited to have that in the cupboard.
So just by, you know, because we have to, I had to order a few candles on top of it. Because you can't order 100%. That.
Free shipping for the $50 order.
Correct. Except mine usually are well over that. We got a flavor of candle for every season of the year.
I think flannel is currently in the kitchen.
Ooh.
I just changed that one out. That's like my favorite. Oh, it's just heavenly. It's like a perfect fall candle. And then, what's it? Palo Santo and sage is in the bathroom, and it smells phenomenal too.
I have been cheating on Bath and Body Works a little bit. Goose Creek
has come out
with some.
You can't say that. We're supposed to get like a deal with them or something.
Goose Creek has
come out with some. Sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, Bath and Body Works sponsor.
If they saw how much I spent, I got to be in the top 500 for sure.
I'm sure you are. You're probably on their list of people.
We have a cabinet that's probably 5 candles tall. That fits
Abby
probably
knows.
25 rows.
Have you seen
it's
it?
It's full.
Wow.
Soap, candles, air fresheners for the car.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever bought a single thing in years. It's always Lance. They have a deal. They have a sale. We got to get on it.
I was just at the mall yesterday, and I walked in, and I was like, oh, I forgot that malls smell like Bath & Body Works. Like, mm. I like walked past it, and this brings me back emotionally. My mother would always do the, what was it, it was Sweet Pea. Was
oh,
her, yeah,
yes.
That was
yes.
her signature scent, her
oh,
Bath & Body scent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I love that you're a Bath and Body girly.
He is. He stands the Bath and Body Works.
I don't post much on Facebook anymore, but usually when they have the buy one get one deals or the $10 a candle deals, I'm usually posting it to let everybody
know. And he like
know.
Texts my mom and my sister too, and he's like, "Hey, they have sales. You know, do you want anything?"
Has Lance been hacked? His yeah. phone is texting me a lot of Bath and Body
yeah,
information.
It's so weird.
No, that's him. Well, thank you so much for being here. I feel like a renewed sense of I need to go out to Bath & Body, go check out some of their stuff.
Well, if you need to raid the cupboard, we've got plenty too. That's what I tell everybody when they come over. If you need a candle, take a candle with you, please.
Party favors.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, thank
thanks for having us, too.
Yeah, thank you. Of course. Absolutely. Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday, regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.